Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, The Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
In your mind, does the world seem inverted? Backward, dissonant, dare to think out loud. You see your rights, freedoms, your very way of life being attacked, systematically eroded. Dare to think out loud. You observe traitorous evil rewarded, stealing the future from your children and grandchildren. Dare to think out loud. You question all the jingoistic propaganda claimed to be history. Dare to think out loud. You have tuned in to the right show. Dare to think out loud. Here's an expert on original source true history, your host, the Rebel Madman, Michael Gaddy.
Well, wow, what a great introduction by my good friend Gouverneur Giuseppe. And welcome, folks, here on the 11th day of March to Dare to Think Out Loud. Of course, in today's world, my admonition would be just dare to think instead of feel and believe what you hear coming from the media and from other totally irresponsible sources of information. But anyway, I'm here today, and thank goodness I have two very good friends with me. Got old Cal Robbins from out there in western Arizona. Cal, how you doing today, my buddy? And you better unmute first. There you go.
I'm unmuted. No, I'm doing good today, Mike. It's just enjoying the spring weather out here in western Arizona. How you doing today?
Well, if I was any better, I'd be illegal somewhere. And, of course, I said that yesterday to a lady in Mississippi, and she said, well, you probably are. So, anyway, and also from the, man, I hate to say the great state of California. So let me just say, California, our good friend, Scorpio. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Let's say the formerly great state of California.
Yeah, well, how far back would we have to be for it to be great?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Quite a ways back, but I think really things got really bad in California. Probably right after 9/11. I think that's when things really changed here.
Oh, well, I certainly can't argue that point. But today, guys, our subject is, believe it or not, the American public and what they believe. And I am just absolutely blown away. I've been looking at this Ukraine situation, and I just returned from a trip to Tupelo, Mississippi. Met some friends. And met some friends on the way back. Stopped in Jasper, Alabama yesterday and spent some time with our good friend Jamie Bell. And that was a very great experience. I really appreciated meeting Jamie. And Jamie, thanks for lunch. So traveling back and stopping and talking with people, and it's really amazing that for 2 years, we've been up to our eyeballs in COVID-19. And when COVID-19 began to lose its grip on the American public, what do we get? We get a new emotional threat. Russia has invaded the Ukraine. And of course, you know, they invaded the Ukraine 8 years after the United States politically invaded the Ukraine, but Bubis doesn't know that because it wasn't on Fox News or CNN, the Communist News Network, or PMSNBC. If it's not there, America doesn't believe it. But guys, I was talking with a friend, and one of the things that just absolutely amazed me, traveling, I try to stay off of interstates. I try to travel backwards America when I travel. And doing that, one of the things you do is you pass through rural communities and you see a lot of churches. I was just absolutely amazed on my trip up and my trip back, Wednesday and Thursday, how many southern churches in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia that I passed that were flying the Ukrainian flag. And, you know, the billboards outside the churches, whatever you call those things, and, oh, support the Ukrainians against those terrible Russians, blah, 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 blah. One of the things, and I mentioned this to my friend in Mississippi, isn't it amazing that the churches are flying the flag of the United States government and the flag of the Ukraine, but somehow they don't fly the flag of Christianity? Cal, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm right there with you, Mike. I'm blown away at how easily led by the nose people are. And then, you know, 501c3 churches, they just fall right in line and just perpetuate this narrative. And this is the narrative coming from the same entity, the government and the news media, that everybody knows has been lying to them for the last 2 years, at least the last 2 years. A lot of us know they've been lying all along, but it just blows me away. Everything the government said is fake news. It's all fake news. And then all of a sudden they come out with a new thing and everybody just believes it again without a bit of critical looking at it. I just don't understand it, Mike.
Well, what amazes me, Cal, is the people who will readily listen to and agree with and react to the same government which told them that Biden won the election in 2020 and that COVID was going to destroy the world and the vaccines are safe. And they know that those were lies, but yet the next thing the government tells them they think is gospel, according to whoever. Dave, what are your thoughts on that, buddy?
Well, Mike, you know, I'm just blown away by the onslaught of endless propaganda Americans are subjected to. You know, after 20 years of endless war in, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq, not a single mention of, you know, any civilian suffering. Now all we see are crying women, babies being born in subway stations, and now the Russians have attacked a maternity ward. And I have to say the footage from that looks completely fake, showing this the Ukrainian army carrying a pregnant woman, rubbing her belly on a stretcher. You know, it just, and then there's another clip of a Ukrainian soldier putting a bandage on this woman's head. Look completely fake. I'm sorry. Just, you know, these clips we're seeing just look completely staged to demonize Russia. And then, you know, the other day I was in Los Angeles and someone had put blue and yellow ribbons around trees all over town. There were huge billboards on the side of the freeway saying, "We stand with Ukraine," and other billboards where there's already foundations set up to give to the needy, suffering Ukrainians. Apparently these foundations were set up in like 10 days, so which isn't possible to do all the paperwork. So, Mike, I'm just seeing fakery and manipulation on all fronts here. And like you said, we've been lied to about everything, but suddenly this is real.
Well, you know, one of the things, Dave, we want to look at the hypocrisy of the American public here. And this is the reason why we're in this mess, is because of the outlandish hypocrisy of the majority of people in this country. And one of the things that amazed me was NASCAR was so proud of Richard Childress, one of their former owners, for sending 1 million rounds of ammunition to the Ukraine to help them defend against Russia. Oh, they had it all over their website, and they were oh so proud of this. And I sent a message, an email to NASCAR, and I said, how many rounds of ammunition did Richard Childress and NASCAR send to help the people at Waco and Ruby Ridge when their government was attacking them and killing them?
Well, Mike, this is also incredibly dangerous. Sending arms. They're still talking about sending planes from Poland into Ukraine somehow. This is incredibly dangerous, and this could really spiral out of control, and the West doesn't seem to even have the basic instincts of self-preservation here.
Well, guys, here's one of the things I thought about many times, and I a gentleman back in Colorado who ran for sheriff back in 2014, and he was he had been a detective in San Bernardino, California for 20 some years. And he was running for sheriff, and I really liked the guy. And he went to the, post academy and, you know, the training for police officers. He wanted to be recertified so he could run for sheriff. And about halfway through, he called myself and a couple of his other supporters, and he said, could we meet for dinner? We met for dinner, and I'll never forget that Mike Steele was his name. And Mike said, you know, guys, I don't think I can do this because these academies, these police academies are not training police officers anymore. They're training assassins. And he said, when I went through police training 30 some years ago in California, he said the major emphasis on being a cop was de-escalation of an event. You got to an event where there was potential violence. Your job was to de-escalate it. It was to remove the factor that might lead to violence. He said, now we are training our policemen to promote escalation of the situation so that, that violence can ensue. Well, guys, how is that different now from what our government is doing in these issues? Rather than trying to de-escalate the situation, we are trying to escalate, promote violence. Dave, as you just eloquently mentioned. So, Cal, what is your thoughts on that? It seems like the governments always want more violence. Your thoughts?
Well, that's what government is force and violence. That when you boil it down, that's what government is coercion, force, and violence. This guy you knew who was, going to be sheriff, he's talking about the rise of the police state. I mean, from when he was a cop way back 30-some-odd years ago to cops today, I'm almost 60, so yeah, I noticed a difference between the cops when I was a kid and cops today. They're total different animals. But then you have Bubas going around flying the police state flag, that blue line flag. It's almost as if they want a police state. Oh, wait, they do. They wanted Trump to come back at the head of the army. It's almost like these people want a dictator. They don't want the responsibility of individual liberty and individual freedom. They want somebody to just take care of all the problems they perceive in the world for them. And I shudder and I cry when I think about the loss of liberty of the people.
Well, very good point, Cal. And, that has amazed me over the period of time, too. But let's go back. And, Dave, I would like your comments on this. We know that this has been coming for quite a while. But why do the American people continue to fall for it? Because 1982, CIA Director William Casey said, and I quote, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false," unquote. A few years later, CIA Director William Colby, who seemed to have a problem paddling a canoe and died mysteriously, he said before Congress, "We own everyone of any major importance in the American media," unquote. Dave, why do Americans have problems believing them when they tell you what they're going to do and they do it and they still won't believe it?
Well, I think we've been trained to have sort of faith in authority figures without questioning them. I think that's the root cause there. And political power comes from the barrel of a gun, as Mao Zedong noted. And Cal was saying that, all government is essentially violence. That's true. And, Mike, what really kind of strikes me about this whole thing, if we weren't talking about Ukraine and if the whole world wasn't focused on that, people would be seeing what an absolute fraud this whole COVID business has actually been. I mean, so much is coming out now about the vaccines and how dangerous they are and the 10 pages of bizarre side effects and exotic diseases that it causes. It's the timing of this cannot be excused. There's no way this is just a coincidence. This is I think they actually suffered a major problem here with the rollout of these vaccines. And this is a lot of this, the timing for this is a cover to stop people from looking at that because it's absolutely outrageous how it was pushed on the American public, Mike. And it just came out the other day that through FOIA requests that the HHS, Health and Human Services, paid over $1 billion to the media to promote the that experimental, quote, vaccine.
But, And I think you are exactly right, and I'm looking for it now to bring up what was sent, again, not to be redundant, but what was sent by a allegedly Democratic think tank. Now, this occurs 2 weeks before the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So let's stop and look at timing here. So this group, this Democratic think tank, sends the this message to the Democratic Party, allegedly. Now, when we talk about the Democratic Party or we talk about the Republican Party, they're both two heads of the same government. So imagine this letter being sent to the United States government by a think tank. Now, consider it again. I know I'm being redundant. I've read this before, but it bears repeating. And I quote, after 2 years that necessitated lockdowns, travel bans, school closures, mass mandates, and nearly a million deaths, nearly every American finally has the tools to protect themselves from this virus. It's time for the government to take credit for ending the COVID crisis phase of the COVID war, point to important victories like vaccine distribution and providing economic stability to Americans, and fully enter the rebuilding phase that comes after any war. And then it says, recognize that people are worn out and feeling real harm from the years-long restrictions, and take their side. Most Americans have personally moved out of crisis mode. Twice as many voters are now more concerned about COVID's effect on the economy than about someone in their family or someone they know becoming infected with the virus. Two-thirds of parents and 80% of teachers say the pandemic caused learning loss, and voters are overwhelmingly more worried about learning loss than their kids getting COVID. 6 in 10 Americans describe themselves as worn out by this pandemic. The more we talk about the threat of COVID and onerously restrict people's lives because of it, the more we turn them against us and show them we're out of touch with their daily realities. Stop talking about restrictions and the unknown future ahead. If we focus on how bad things still are and how much worse they could get, we set ourselves up as failures, unable to navigate through this. When 99% of Americans can get vaccinated, we cause more harm than we prevent with voters by going into our third year talking about more restrictions. And if we continue to hold a positive, if we continue to hold a posture that prioritizes COVID precautions over learning how to live in a world where the virus exists, but does not dominate, we risk paying dearly for it at the polls in November, allegedly. But guys, this is not happenstance. This thing comes out. A survey is made of American people. The majority are fed up with the bullshit. I don't want to hear any more about your COVID. Keep pushing COVID and the people are going to lose faith in government. So what do they do? We have to have an event where good old Bubus Americanus stands up, salutes, and pledges allegiance. So what do we get? 2 weeks after this letter is sent out, or this memorandum is sent out, 2 weeks later, we have a Russian invasion of the Ukraine to get Bubus's mind off of COVID, to get Bubus's mind off the fact that the vaccine is killing people, as you illuminated, Dave. Suddenly, we have to change focus. If we don't, the people are going to catch on to the scam. Change the focus. So they do it in such magnitude with the press. You can't turn on any damn thing, which I don't usually. But you can't turn on anything without something about Ukraine. You drive from here to Tupelo, Mississippi, and back, and churches everywhere are flying the Ukrainian flag. Not the Christian flag. The Ukrainian flag. And there's pledges, you know, pledge this, pledge that, the billboards, Dave, as you were talking about. How easy is it to switch Bubus from one thought to another, and by being able to switch Bubus, You control their minds, and once you control their minds, you control their actions. Thoughts, Cal?
Well, going back to the whole start of this COVID thing, I mean, it was all about covering up the largest transference of wealth ever going to happen in human history, and that's happening right now. So, you know, COVID ran out, so people were distracted with COVID. They weren't realizing just how much wealth transfer there is. Then there's the stimulus checks, the socialist stimulus checks. So from that, you end up with this runaway inflation that seems to be happening right now. But if you look at the narrative out there, well, it's all because of Putin. The rising price in gas, well, it's all because of Putin. But no, this whole thing's orchestrated, people. Who's going to stop all of this? Oh, yeah, the mighty government's going to come in and save you. It's going to be like when Castro went into that classroom of kids and said, pray to God for ice cream and cake. And they pray to God for ice cream and cake, and none appears. And he says, now pray to Castro for it. And he brings in cake and ice cream. And wow, well, this government thing works. And people just don't see how they're being led down this path. I want off this crazy merry-go-round ride, please.
Well, I think back to that 1960s movie that says, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And you don't know how many times I think that anymore. You look around at people, and it's just like, what? But, guys, one of the things I think about, and Dave and Cal, I both want your response to this. And I'll never forget. Now, this is graphic, and this hits right to the core of it. And it came from my grandfather. And I tell you what, my grandfather could get to the core of a subject in about four syllables. And I'll never forget from some of my experiences with the government. And as a young man, asking my grandfather, who was in his 90s at the time, lived to be 100, but asking him in his 90s, I said one time, Pa, why won't the American people wake up to what is happening? Why can't they see what is going on? Why won't they believe? And my grandfather and his ability to melt everything down to a single phrase said, boy, ain't nobody wants to believe their mother's a whore. Therefore, they reject all the evidence. And the more I look at it today, and I got an email from my good friend Brad Peoples up there in Ohio. And Brad, I had told him this story some time back, and Brad gives me an example of something that's happening in his county in Ohio, and he comes back and he says, yeah, but Gaddy, nobody wants to believe their mother's a whore. Dave, give me your thoughts on that statement, please, sir.
Well, yeah, that really does cut right down to it, doesn't it? You know, I think we're just seeing the West, unfortunately, is really being exposed here, and you know, in. Mitchell was just posting in the chat that Russia plans to nationalize all the property left behind by these companies that are closing their doors in Russia. So Russia's just going to nationalize all the empty McDonald's, 850 locations, IKEA. There's actually a couple of hundred companies that are pulling out of Russia. So, you know, this opens up a bigger question, Mike, is, you know, I thought all these big corporations were in the game to make money. We're in a capitalist system, you know. It's all about making money, yet they're going to McDonald's is going to close 850 locations, and Starbucks is going to close hundreds of locations. IKEA is going to close all these locations. I thought they were in the business to make money. And what I see, Mike, is we're being played here that, you know, clearly these corporations are sort of these larger corporations are merely an arm of the government. And, you don't want to see that your mother's a whore. That's right. Our government is a whore, and so are the corporations that surround it.
Exactly. Cal, your thoughts, buddy?
Well, I have a question. Has Putin and the Russian government, have they rejected the petrodollar and basically told the central banks, given them the big finger and told them to go pound sand? Is Putin, I mean, my question is, okay, what is Putin's game here? I mean, if he's made the central banksters mad, then yeah, the central banks are going to pull McDonald's and Starbucks and IKEA and all their other corporate entities they control out of Russia to try and economically hurt Russia. But the only reason they would do that would be because Russia is a threat to them of some sort. That's just, going through my head.
But Cal, I understand that. But here's my point. And I made this with BB9 and DW a couple of weeks ago. If this letter comes out and tells the government, hey, you got to get off your COVID routine, you've got to adapt something else to captivate Bubis's brain, and they immediately jump into Russia invasion of the Ukraine, does Putin not have to be in on this?
I would take that into consideration and say, yeah, Putin would have to be in on this, and he's just playing his part, that all of this is staged. That's my fallback. It's all staged. I look at it from that position. Okay, why is Putin doing it? And just trying to put the pieces together, and the pieces aren't fitting together, but I'm not jumping on any bandwagon saying, aha, this is the way it is. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. You know, I don't see the Ukrainian government as anything great for the Ukrainian people, from what I've understand.
Well, true there. Here, let me throw this other thing out that's been a development of the last few days that is really ironic. We have, of course, Tucker Carlson, and I haven't watched him. I'm depending on what other people tell me, and people I trust are telling me he's really been on a kick here for 2 days about the biolabs in the Ukraine, and that, and of course, then comes almost the immediate denial. The United States has no bio warfare labs in the Ukraine. Ah, that's nothing. That can't be true. And then yesterday, or a couple of days ago at least, the Senate is doing an investigation on it, and Marco Rubio, that wonderful guy that is not eligible to be a senator, but he is, Marco Rubio says, hey, gosh, Victoria Nuland, while you're here, let me ask you something. And he was hoping, I believe, he says, are there really bio warfare labs in the Ukraine? And of course, she was responsible in many ways for the 2014 deposing of the democratically elected chairman of the Ukraine. And I think she surprised him. Watching his reaction, watching his facial reaction troubled me. And he asked her, expecting her to say, no, there's no way, we don't have those there. She says, yes, we have them there, and we are extremely troubled that if Russia takes them over, what they might do with what is in those labs. Whoa, what? We are producing biowarfare viruses in labs in the Ukraine. I added the viruses, people. That wasn't mentioned. But we are creating bioweapons in the Ukraine. America is paying for this. And we are troubled that if Russia gets control of them, what they will do. And, of course, old Rubio very quickly changed the subject, which I found very, very, very telling. Dave, are you aware of that, and what are your thoughts?
Yes. Victoria Nuland even admitted this now, but they just called it, she tried to sanitize the whole thing. Oh, they're just research facilities, and we're concerned that the Russians may get a hold of some of the material, the research materials. So, and they're already trying to turn around, that Russia may start a bioweapons attack now if they get a hold of our research materials. Mike, this is all incredibly dangerous, and this whole idea of bio research labs, sort of building better pathogens, including viruses, and there's a whole other array of pathogens that they work on. you know, it's this is finally at least coming out to public knowledge. And of course, you know, this COVID, whatever it was, I'm not convinced it was actually a virus. It may have been just another research pathogen that they've been spraying on us. You know, so at least this is actually coming out in into the public sphere that, yes, these weapon labs are real. And bio research has been going on for a long time. And China is claiming that America has something like 360 bioweapons research labs in 30 countries around the world. So, just today, Russia is calling for some kind of international treaty, you know, regulating and limiting these bio research facilities. Of course, that'll fall upon deaf ears because we're not even supposed to know about any of this, Mike.
Oh, that's true. And Dave and Cal here, both you gentlemen are familiar with PNAC, right? The Project for the New American Century?
Oh, yes, yes. Victoria Nuland's husband, Robert Kagan, was a prime player in that.
Now, it came out in 1997, and they were going to try to get Bill Clinton to push this thing. But unfortunately, Bill Clinton was eyeballs deep in a blue dress, and he couldn't really do this with any credibility. So they passed the Project for New American Century on to George W. Bush, you know, and so here we have, and in the Project for the New American Century, the statement was made, you know, that Americans are never going to accept this, our proposal, without a new Pearl Harbor. And ironically, on the night of September 11th, George W. Bush says to the American public, what we have before us, people, is a new Pearl Harbor. Well, deep within that PNAC document, which I have, deep within that document is for the United States to be the world's leader and to be dominant in the production of bioweapons, biowarfare. Now, Dave, you made the connection. Robert Kagan was big in Project for New American Century. He is there proposing bioweapons labs. Victoria Nuland in 2014 kind of becomes the proxy leader of the Ukraine, and we have bio warfare plants in the Ukraine, of course, now which we deny, but which she admits are there. She's just afraid of the fact that the Russians are going to get control of these things. Cal, what are your thoughts, sir?
I got it.
Cal, did you fall in a hole?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, now better. It sound like you fell in a hole.
Yeah, I moved the mic on my headset. No, I just I don't have an absolute thought on this. Like I say, I'm still trying to figure all this out. You know, I mean, there's. Getting past the there's a good guy, bad guy thing, it's like, okay, they're all bad. You know, and it's all detrimental to the progress of humanity. And I'm just trying to go through all of everything that's going on with that in mind, you know, just trying to see how these pieces fit together. Because so far, this picture is, you know, it's a mosaic right now. I'm trying to figure it out. At least in my mind.
Oh, Dave, you foresee or did you predict a relationship between PNAC and these bio warfare labs in the Ukraine and, of course, all over the world, as we mentioned before?
Well, I don't know that I foresaw it, but it certainly fits together in the larger, you know, mosaic here for sure. And it connects with this Operation COVID hoax, where I think they released some kind of fairly benign, bioweapon of some kind, enough to scare the great, you know, unwashed masses, but not enough to be any real threat to any members of the elite. Because isn't it interesting that not a single world leader or top elite guy died of COVID? I found that interesting.
Hmm. Well, You know, guys, both of you, and here's something I brought up 2 years ago. I said one of the barometers we can look at to tell if this is real or if this is a giant perpetrated hoax is let's look at the proportion, the percentage of the American society that catches COVID, the percentage of American society that dies from COVID, the percentage of the American society that gets the vaccine, the proportional percentage of those who have adverse reactions to vaccine and die. Now let's compare that with the 545 members of the ruling class in America, Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. What percentage of our Congress has died from COVID, gentlemen?
0.0.
What percentage of our leadership, that 545 people, what percentage of them have had adverse reactions to the vaccine?
It's looking like another goose egg there, Mike.
Wouldn't that be representative if the same thing is happening? If you take a certain segment of society and you take them out of the overall picture and you look at them and they have had, of course, they claim that a few of them had COVID. They had to. But how many died from it? How many had to be put on remdesivir? How many of them had to be intubated? How many of them actually died? And percentage proportions to the American population. If that 545 people were totally insulated from any results from this, gentlemen, there's a message there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think the message is, Mike? That
I think the message is that Bubus Americanus is about as stupid as a damn rock.
Right. Now they've got themselves wrapped in a Ukrainian flag, waiting to escalate this situation further.
Yeah, what if we could convince Bubas that the Ukrainian flag was toxic and it actually contained COVID?
Uh-huh. What if they put a big swastika on the Ukrainian flag?
You know, guys, I'm sorry, and I'm, you know, I never have claimed to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I tell you, there are so many things we can sit and look at here, and a couple of the things I've been trying to draw up on social media is the absolute hypocrisy of the American public. You know, we look at what is claimed that the Russians are doing, and, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, there's got to be something done. We need to send them ammunition. We need to send them guns. But yet.
What about Palestine?
Well, let's look at Waco. 34 children were gassed to death by this government at Waco. The people were burned in their homes at Waco. By our government. Why is it that when our government commits absolute murder, no one seems to care? But if some other government does, oh, we've got to run down to the church and raise the flag. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, aren't they saying that the Russians bombed a schoolhouse or something? And that's a war crime of sorts?
I'm sure.
Hasn't the United States done the same thing in Afghanistan and Iraq? Proxy through the Saudis in Yemen and through the Israelis in Palestine? Hasn't this been going on? So wouldn't the United States be just as guilty of the war crime as they're trying to label Russia is on? And this isn't
when America does it, it's not a war crime, it's collateral damage.
How about carpet bombing Baghdad? Shock and awe. But that was all smart bombs, of course.
Hey, you know, jumping back in history, guys, and I don't mean to really take away from the subject here, but I was doing some research not too long ago, and I found it incredible. You guys have heard of John Marshall, right?
Yes.
Okay. I believe he was he Secretary of State during World War II? Would I be correct in that office?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did he threaten Japan with in August of 1941? He said, we are going to send B-17s into Japan from the Philippines, and we are going to bomb your paper cities with incendiary devices and burn you to the ground. He said that in August of 1941. Let me see, August, September, October, November, December, the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor.
And the Philippines.
Yes.
And the Philippines, yes. And I would blame them. This country, which has the capability of doing exactly what it's saying it's going to do, the United States, is going to bomb our cities from bases in the Philippines. It would be behooving upon the Japanese government to remove the ability for the American government to do that, wouldn't it? That would be called self-preservation, self-defense. Gee, kind of have to agree with what the Japanese did there in invading the Philippines.
Oh, well, guys, you know, we mentioned PNAC before, and I know this crazy guy who back in 2003, almost 20 years ago, published an article about PNAC. And at that time, he published it in an internet location known as the Sierra Times on March the 2nd of 2003. And he quoted a Neil McKay in the Scotland Sunday Herald. And he said, this Neil McKay says, a secret blueprint for U.S. global domination reveals that President Bush and his cabinet were planning a premeditated attack on Iraq to secure regime change even before he was inaugurated in January of 2001. The blueprint uncovered by the Sunday Herald for the creation of a global Pax Americana was drawn up for Dick Cheney, now Vice President, Donald Rumsfeld, Defense Secretary, Paul Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld's deputy, George W. Bush's younger brother Jeb, and Louis Libby, Cheney's chief of staff. Scooter Libby, he became to be known. The document entitled Rebuilding America's Defense Strategies, Forces, and Resources for a New Century, was written in September of 2000 by the neoconservative think tank Project for the New American Century. I have that entire plan, gentlemen, and I know the guy who wrote this article very well. The plan put forth by PNAC reveals, regardless of whether Saddam Hussein was in power in Iraq, an attack there was preordained. Maybe this can explain why they continue the war to beat the war drums, no matter how many times this administration is caught lying about Iraq. Inside the document prepared by PNAC is the following, and I quote, the United States has for decades sought to play a more permanent role in Gulf regional security. While the unresolved conflict with Iraq provides the immediate justification, the need for a substantial American force presence in the Gulf transcends the issue of the regime of Saddam Hussein, unquote. The document also outlines a blueprint for maintaining global U.S. predominance, including the rise of the great power rival and shaping the international security order in line with American principles and interest. The American grand strategy must be advanced as far into the future as possible. To facilitate their plans, The military cannot be constrained by the Constitution.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what...